Hey y'all, it's Alante, and you're listening to Black and in Grad School, the podcast that helps women and people of color like you excel in this journey. If you're listening, I believe you are an aspiring or current scholar who wants to successfully navigate this process. By sharing my experience while pursuing my PhD and interviewing other Black graduate students or early career professionals, it is my hope that you can glean encouragement, advice, and strategies that you can apply to your journey. Thanks for listening. Right, today we're talking about finances and income as grad students, and really this, what we want to talk about is life entrepreneurship as graduate students. And so I'm really excited to talk to you about this today because if you are a grad student or if you're about to go to grad school, you know that finances are limited and we have budgetary constraints because we don't make as much money as grad students, even with the fellowship. While that is a uptick in money and definitely helps you become more comfortable, it still isn't the same as working in corporate America or having like a regular job. So with that said, I'm excited to talk to you today about this money thing and share a little bit of my experience with finances and creating more income, and then also talking about how you can create more income for yourself as a graduate student. Let's get to it. So, as every week, I start the podcast with lessons from the track. And this week, I'm keeping it super simple, but on theme with Solange's Bins. It's on her new album, which honestly, I'll admit the first time I heard it, I was like, okay, girl. But the rest, honestly, now I feel like the album like speaks to me and is like almost like some sort of like soothing bath almost, right? Like, I don't know. That's kind of what I think of. It kind of puts me in that mindset. And so I love, love, love Bins. Like, it has a nice little bop to it. It's a little, you know, comfortable. It's not too comfortable. That might be what I'm looking for. But it's like just a feel-good song, you know? It makes you feel good. And she says, money never coming on CP time. And, you know, all I'm going to say to that is, from her lips to God's ears, you know? For my finances, for your finances, we want this money on time, okay? And so that's really it for this week's lesson from the trap. Super simple, but if you somehow haven't heard Solange's album or if you only gave it one listen, I definitely want to suggest you listen to it again because it's a poppin' album, yo. I think it's really good. So that is it for lessons from the trap this week. And next we're going to go right into it. I'm going to switch up the format a little bit today. Usually I tell like a story or give like an update and then go into like tips for the week or whatever, but it all works out, okay? The story's gonna work out fine. So I'm gonna start whatever with the story first. So an update in my life as far as finances go, right now I am rebuilding my savings account. So prior to coming to school, I was pretty aggressive with my savings, and my first year, I was able to generate more income using one of the side hustles I'll tell you about today. And so I had like a pretty decent savings account. However, at the October of last year, I had a $5,000 bill for my university. And I remember I saw that bill and I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm literally about to cry because this is like so much money. And I'm on a fellowship, like I have funding, I have a stipend. So typically I only have to pay about $200 a semester to cover like the fees that aren't covered by tuition reimbursement or whatever, tuition waiver. So it's like maybe the bus pass and like the fitness fee and one other fee is like $200 a year that I have to pay. But I also have to pay my health insurance, and our health insurance at my school, while it is an excellent plan, it is so, so expensive. It's about $2,300 a year for our health insurance. And seeing that I'm over 26, so I'm not eligible to stay on my parents' healthcare plan, I have to be, I have to pay for this health insurance or else I would not be insured, and that's just not gonna happen. But the cool thing is, like I said, we have really great health insurance at our school, even though it's expensive. For example, my therapy is completely free. Like, it's included in the insurance costs. Like, all mental health care is free. Most of my visits are free. You know, there's low cost on, low copays on my medicine, like if I have a cold and or something like that, and visits to the university center, health center, or to another doctor are typically covered. You know, dental cleanings are free. Really, I mean, honestly, like, really comprehensive coverage. But again, as a grad student, that $2,300 is high. But they do have a payment plan, which is great. However, this year, the payment plan didn't go as planned, okay? And so I just had to pay the whole bill in full. My feelings was hurt. Like, so, so, so hurt. And this was all while a bunch of other stuff was going on. My comprehensive exams, my grandfather being sick. It was just like, I just felt like I was being, you know, attacked on all fronts, including my finances. So I was like, yo, this is killing me. And so I've had to be really intentional about rebuilding my savings account now, because I was grateful that I had the money to cover that bill. And that, like, really hurt my feelings. I had to give it to that, being that, you know, there's a payment plan. But in the same breath, like, it definitely taught me a lesson about the importance of having an emergency savings, the importance of having that money set aside. And so, I am, like, adamant about rebuilding my savings account and exceeding what I had before, because also I'm getting older and I feel like when emergencies happen, they're more expensive now. I don't know what that's about, but that's what happens. And so that's kind of where I'm at as far as, like, my finances go. Like, I have to rebuild the savings. That means some stuff I'm not doing this year. Some activities I'm just not participating in. Sometimes I'm on a budget, like, you want to go where? Oh, my max is $40. Okay. You want to go? I can't do that. Actually, I'm gonna sit at home. Oh, literally, like, I've made my home comfortable. Like, oh, go to Starbucks. No, I can make anything I want at Starbucks at the crib for less. Oh, I want to eat this. Let me go look up a menu. Let me look up a recipe, because I'm not buying, you know, a $20 meal, even though I am still guilty. Like, I love my sushi every week. That is my guilty pleasure, and that's how I treat myself. So that does happen. But for the most part, you know, anything else I like to eat, I try at least to make it at home once or twice. Just ways to cut my costs, because I don't play those games. I go to happy hour, but just to go out regular drinks, I'll have one, maybe two if we're really celebrating, okay? But no, I don't do all that no more. And that's just kind of like what has happened, because I'm trying to build back up my finances, right? And so that has been really, really important for me, really critical, in my opinion, to me, like, making sure that I'm going to be in a good place when I finish school. Not only, you know, having my degree and feeling, you know, of course, like I've accomplished something through that, but I also still have financial goals. Like, I'm 30. And I need to, like, make sure that my finances are in a certain place. I want to be able to, like, my personal goal is to be able to buy a home wherever I move next. Or if I end up staying, you know, where I'm at now in Pittsburgh, being able to purchase a home, like, within the first year of me finishing my degree. Because I'll be 32 or maybe 33. And I just am kind of sick of moving. And I kind of, like, I'm going to get roots wherever I go next. Like, I'm buying a house. That's kind of just, like, what's happening, period. And so right now, I feel like it's a good time to kind of make incremental progress towards that goal. And I do so through side hustling. And even though I have lowered my living expenses by having roommates, and finding a really cheap apartment in Pittsburgh, I've also reduced, like, I'm actually really thinking about selling my car. I haven't decided what I'm gonna do yet, and I need to really, like, sit down and figure out the budgetary, like, what happens to my budget if I was to do that. But I am considering selling my car, and just paying off the car loan, and, you know, pocketing whatever the difference is, because I got a really good deal on my car as well. I'm trying to think of what else I've done to, like, reduce my expenses. I don't go out as much. I don't eat out as much. I don't even like work at coffee shops like that. Honestly, the monitor thing has helped deter me from going to coffee shops. I'd much rather work at home because I have two monitors at home, or I'd much rather work in the office if I have to leave my house because I have a monitor at my office, and an external monitor. And so that has helped like curb my own like wanting to go to a coffee shop and stuff. So I don't spend that type of like little money. I've slowed down on my Amazon shopping too, even though I'm still guilty of that. And then even a lot of online shopping, I just only do as needed. And I've tried to become more creative. Like I don't even really shop like that. Like I bought an outfit for my birthday, but even still, I probably didn't. Those are some of the things I've done to like reduce my costs and like keep my expenses lower. And I don't drive. I don't drive except for to go to therapy and to get groceries during the week. Literally the rest of the time I'm taking the bus to school. And a lot of my social activities, I'm super grateful. My friends will come pick me up, so I don't have to drive even to go out. I feel like I've kind of shared what I've done to like reduce my costs. But if you don't even have a budget, you know, I do actually have a video from the Strengths Not Strikes virtual summit last year where I share how to create a budget, what your budget should look like, what kind of expenses, like a breakdown of your expenses and all of that. And I will include a link in the show notes and in this video so that you can watch that video. I think it's been really useful. People really enjoyed it last year, and I'm definitely hoping to do something similar this year as it relates to our personal finances, because that shit is really, really important, especially as grad students, because we're not really able to save the way that maybe someone who has a full income can. And that is really where side hustling can come in and help. Okay, so that's, I had to bring it back. All right, so I kind of talked about why you should side hustle, right? To help you stay on goal, to achieve financial goals you might have. Or, you know, if you live somewhere that's really expensive, where you're getting your degree, you probably have to work just to make up for the difference in maybe your rent or your, you know, just your living expenses, or your just the expenses you need to like survive and exist, right? Like your food and your and living shelter. And so that might be why you need to side hustle. Or you might need like a travel trip. Like maybe your family's going on a trip, or you about to have a wedding, or there's a lot of things that happen in grad school, right? Life keeps going on. You have a lot of things you have to do. And so maybe that stipend is not cutting it to handle all that you need to accomplish that requires money. And so what should you do? Now, I have two suggestions, and I'm going to kind of zip through the first one, and then the second one I'll kind of go a little bit more at length with. And so the first one is if you have a short-term goal. So let's say 6 months from now you're going on a trip, and you need like $500, $600 for like play money, or you need to buy your plane ticket and your hotel and or Airbnb or whatever. So you need like some money to do those things. And it's not in your budget right now because you have a budget. If you just need to make some money like that real quick, I think the gig economy is the perfect way for grad students to very quickly accumulate some money. And so that is, Instacart, DoorDash, Uber Eats, Lyft, Uber, regular Uber, Postmates, what else? Grubhub. Did I say DoorDash already? You know, like all of these kind of gig economies, or even like the pet sitter websites or anything like that, you can very easily, you know, just pick up like one day a week where you're working a couple of hours and you can make some money, right? You can make some good money. I think most of them are, you know, in the ballpark of like between $12 and $20 an hour. And so you do that for like 6 months or 4 months, you'll probably get to $500, right? Let me do the calculation real quick. That's six, seven hours a month. Imagine if you did more than that, you'd be making like pretty good side money, right? And so that's a way that you can really quickly kind of hit those goals. And without also like having to establish an entire brand and do all that stuff, you're trying to make the money, right? And so a lot of these places, things have already established themselves as trustworthy brands, and this connects you for one-time gigs or like ongoing, you know, commitment that you can make with a client or whatever, and you can just be making that money. So I think that's one really good way to make money. Something that I personally do, like within the gig economy, that I've been doing for 4 years now, is Airbnb. Airbnb is super duper easy. It can almost be passive if you get a co-host who can clean for you, which I have now because my Airbnb is in Detroit. I live in Pittsburgh. So I have made some really good money with Airbnb, and I have been able to save a lot of money. That's how I was able to save the money that I had to pay this freaking bill. And I've been able to travel with that money, and I don't include it in my budget at all. It is completely separate money that I act as if I have not even earned. That's how I handle my extra income. That way I won't be tempted to like start shopping and buying like stuff I don't really need. That's what I've done. I've also tutored. I was tutoring like second grade and fifth grade math, because it's easy and also like low stakes. Can't really get that wrong at this point. Even though there's like new ways to teach math, which is stupid, but whatever. I was able to quickly pick that up and, you know, tutor my student. And actually I made pretty good money. I probably made about like $150 a week. And so that was really good. For me, the reason I stopped tutoring was because of the time I was spending to drive and prep and then drive back home and, you know, and do all that kind of left me with a little less time to commit to the podcast and then my actual, like, first my actual work, and then the time I had left over for the podcast was kind of like even smaller and I had less time, and so I wasn't able to give it the quality I felt like it deserved. So that's something that I stopped doing so that I could commit more time to the podcast. But it really was, honestly, I had two students. I met with one student 4 times a week. I met with him Monday through Thursday, and then once a week I met with my other student, and it was like $18, $22 an hour or something like that, especially because I'm in a PhD program. I'm in an engineering PhD program. I just was like higher quality, whatever that means, you know. So I got paid more as a result, because I have a higher level of education, and you will too, because you're getting a PhD, you're getting a master's, you're gonna be more desirable as a tutor for whatever your field is than say an undergraduate student or a high school student or something. So, you know, use it to your advantage and make some good money really quickly. So those are things I've done in like the gig economy. Actually, I did DoorDash for like 2 weeks as well when I lived in Detroit. I was getting ready to come here and I was moved to Pittsburgh, and I was like, I need to make some extra money. It was a little slow for me, and my hours, I feel like maybe I just picked the wrong day. Like I tried to do like Thursday, but you need to pick like lunch times and probably dinner and the weekends and bad weather. Those are times that I think you can make a lot of money, and I wasn't really trying to think that hard at the time. So those are things I've tested out, and I've had success with. I've done Airbnb the longest because it's been, I'd say, the easiest. Just cleaning your Airbnb, making a good description. Also, you know, purchasing like decent sheets and towels, and that's really it, honestly. And you got in keeping everything like clean. That's really the key thing. Is just be clean.
Hey, taking a quick break during this episode to invite you to the Grad School Success Summit hosted by yours truly. In its second year, the summit is a 3-day virtual experience with workshops and seminars led by current professional and graduate students, faculty, career development professionals, and more. These sessions will focus on issues related to navigating the early stages of the graduate school journey. So join us May 20th through 22nd to get the tools you need to transition smoothly to graduate school, whether you're coming from undergrad, the workforce, or you're headed to a PhD program out of a master's program. It's open to all disciplines and degree types, so MDs and JDs, you're more than welcome to come as well. Register for free 99 at gradschoolsummit.com. Again, that's gradschoolsummit.com. Can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the show.
So if you are looking for something more long-term, and I would say like a career-advancing side hustle, I want to introduce a concept to you that I learned and has actually really been a part of the origin story for Blackening Grad School, of this idea of life entrepreneurship. And so I'm going to just tie this into the story for the week, right? And so I was in a program called the New Leaders Council back in 2017. And in that, it's a 6-month program for progressive leaders. It's a training program, and you connect with other progressives. There's a lot of different cities. I think we're probably over 6,000 or 7,000 NLC members at this point. It's a really amazing program if you are planning to be a thought leader in really any industry, but especially those who have an interest in policy and making a change, which I feel like we all are trying to do, right? And so the very first week, the session was called Life Entrepreneurship, and we were given a training and a book about life entrepreneurship and the idea of life entrepreneurship. And what I really liked about this book and this workshop and everything was that it really helped, it will introduce a new concept to me, and that's why I'm telling you, like, maybe you never thought of it this way. But creating a career and a life that you love, right? I did like think about that. You love, but seriously, I'm trying to grab my notes. So it's like, this is from the book, right? It's, what is life entrepreneurship? It integrates life, work, and purpose through distinctive entrepreneurial behavior, and in doing so creating an extraordinary life of significance. That's the kind of the definition of life entrepreneurship. And so again, it's this integrating of your life, your work, and your purpose. And that alone, I mean, really sent me into like I don't want to say deep dive thought, but like a lot of introspection on like, what is it that I want to do with my life? What work do I want to do? What is my purpose? And so what I came up with out of it actually was Blacken in grad school. And maybe it started in a different form, but still seriously. So what happened first is like me thinking about what it is I love to do. And I know that I love teaching, and I do, and I've said this multiple times on the podcast, and when I'm even in with people and family and friends and presentations, I truly believe that my gift is teaching. And so with that, I love teaching, and I knew that's something I wanted to do forever. That's why I wanted to be a professor. That's why I've always been drawn to academia. And so that kind of like has always stayed true, because I feel like I've never, in all of my creative endeavors, I've never felt like I'd rather do this more than academia or more than my research. I like both. I just genuinely love both. And so that stayed. Because I've always kind of, every now and then I like check in with myself, like, do you still want to do this? Like, yeah, no, I really like love research, like, period. And so this research piece has stayed constant, and that's not going anywhere for me, right? That's a part of my purpose, and I think that I have a gift in conducting research as well, so like research, and then teaching, okay, but like creative, that's something I really have enjoyed to do, and I've tried to be creative in a lot of different ways, and I haven't been, I'll say, successful at it in every way, but not like that I'm critical of that, but I just didn't love it. Like, I tried a jewelry making thing. Didn't love that. It was a really cool idea. Like, I still think it was an awesome idea, but not what I loved. I used to host a brunch. I did love that because I love connecting with people, and I love connecting people to each other. Okay, that idea is going to stay, but I don't know if it needs to be executed in the manner I was doing it in Detroit with the happening. I had a blog before that called the Detroit Social Share, and I was trying to share Detroit activities for young professionals in the city and creating community, right? Oh, I love that. That's something that's so important to me. With the happening, that was consistent as well, creating community. And even when I did Napier Designs, which is the jewelry making business, I would host events. Like, there's one called the Sisterly Soiree. So in January, I'd invite all the Greek organizations to meet together, all the women and the sororities, and we could create jewelry. For, you know, you create a blue one if you're a Zeta, a red one if you're a Delta, pink if you, you know, an AKA, you know, blue if you SG Row, whatever. that, again, community, like wanting to get all the organizations together as a way that they can commune together and celebrate all the Founders Days, you know? So like, okay, this is something I love to do. And at the time I was working, and so I was working with people, getting them through grad school. And I loved that work. I was like, oh my gosh, I love this. And so when I got into Carnegie Mellon and decided I was gonna go get my PhD, it was like, okay, I know that this work on graduate education, I wanna continue this. I think there's a piece in my career that I want to maintain in this space. Okay, I love to be creative. Something, there has to be a creative thread through the work that I do always. That's important to me and it's my outlet. Okay, and this research thing and this academic life is my life, right? Like that is gonna happen. And so what can I do that serves all of this? That's how Black Women in Grad School got here. And so that for me has kept me from burnout, from doing like a lot of different things, because that's what was happening before. I had the happening, which was going on pretty much the entire time I was in Detroit. And then I would try these other businesses kind of in the meantime and still working. And then I was like, if I'm going to grad school, I cannot be like a lot of different pockets of my life. Like it all needs to be integrated. And I do believe that the work that I'm doing also has an opportunity to advance my career too. Ultimately, because I'm consistently serving the grad student community. And it shows that I prioritize the grad student community while I've been a grad student. And I will continue to do so when I finish my PhD. And I want to serve you all either through, you know, my position, through the, you know, through whatever happens with the podcast, you know, whatever. So I tell you this story to then kind of then present to you, okay, so what should you be doing to, if you're thinking about, well, I want to have a side hustle, but I don't want to do something that's like quick and, you know, quick money, because that's, I want to build something, which I, you know, applaud you, because it takes time and effort. First is taking inventory of like what you are good at, what you love to do, and what you believe your purpose is. And just take an inventory, look at those things and see if there's a theme you could pull together from those. And also take some time to think about where there are gaps in our society as it relates to what you are interested in. That is it. That's what I did, right? I took inventory of what I loved. Right? I just went through that list with you. In the podcast space, there was not at that time any consistent podcasts about the graduate school experience. Even more specifically, there were no podcasts that were talking about the Black graduate school experience, the Black graduate student experience. And so there was a gap there, and to me, an opportunity to insert myself. But there were like plenty of blogs and vlogs and things like that. I admit I did not do a lot of research into that until afterwards, because now I have a whole list. But I knew that I really wasn't into vlogging. I wasn't really into blogging like that. Like I've tried them. Or maybe it was what I was doing. Like what I was trying to create with those things took more work, where everything about Black and in grad school is very natural because it's what I'm doing. It's what I'm going through. It's something I've spent time and have expertise in the background with, because I spent, you know, 3 years helping Black folk go to grad school. You know what I mean? Like, and then I am a Black woman going to grad school. So everything about it, like, just very seamless for me. And so it might look like that for you in other areas of your life. You just take some time to think about that and take that inventory. The last thing is take action. That's easiest. Now, with this long-term side hustling, also recognize, like, it might take a little bit longer for you to start generating the income that you desire. With that, you're playing the long game, you know? And so it might take a little bit longer. That's just something that you need to recognize. And if you're cool with that, that's going to be perfect, you know? But again, I think it is career advancing, especially if you, you know, do something related to your research, something related to your field, and are creating something beneficial to society or to those in the profession, that's going to be good for you. And so I really want you to think about that life entrepreneurship idea and how you can put it into a side hustle. And of course, your side hustle can always become your full-time thing. And I think that right now there's a lot of pressure for everyone to like quit their job and be a full-time entrepreneur, which I think is realistic for some, but not all. And then some people don't want to. Like me, I personally do not want to become a full-time podcaster. I'm getting this degree, I'm gonna use it, okay? You know, like, this is just me. This is how I feel. Like, all this time and effort I'm putting into this degree, I'm gonna use it, period. Period. With the T, okay? So, I think I've shared a lot with you all today. I hope that you are feeling inspired to either, one, quickly get to your goals through gig economy and all the options we have to side hustle through the gig economy. There's a lot of things you can search for to get more information on which one might be a good fit for you. And if not, if you're choosing to go the career advancing route, you now have a foundation or an idea of this life entrepreneurship concept to propel your next step. And I'm not, when I make this list, it's not shade. This is just like what's popular in the entrepreneurial space right now. It's like, you don't have to do resume writing, you have to do blogging, you don't have to do content creation, you know, in the sense of like this like poppin' Instagram feed version of, you know, entrepreneurial work. You don't have to. Unless if that's what you want to do, I mean, I totally encourage it. Like, here I am, look at me doing it. But I say it to say, you don't have to. And so I hope that you are just inspired to do what works for you. And thank you so much for joining me today on this episode. And as always, grad school's tough, but you're tougher. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of Blacken in Grad School. For more content to help you on your grad school journey, check out blackengradschool.com. That's BLKIN gradschool.com. Love this episode? Head over to Apple Podcasts to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It's very much appreciated. Until next time.